Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Matthew Hoagland, and we're visiting with him in North Carolina. Good morning to you, Matthew.
Hey, good morning, LaVon. How are you today?
I'm good, and I'm really excited to visit with you about a book that you've just finished, and Live Small, right? A Millennial's Guide to Building a Meaningful Life in Rural America. So, first of all, we need to remind folks of the age range or how we define millennials.
Absolutely. I'm happy to do that. So the book, again, is Think Small, Millennial's Guide to Building a Meaningful Life in Rural America. And based on all of the demographic information that I've seen, your average millennial today, or at least the social scientists kind of categorize millennials as being born between the year 1980 and before between 1995 or 96, so from about 1980 to 1996. And that's my age range. I was born in 1984, so I'm a little bit of an older millennial, but that's the target audience for the book.
And that was one of the things I wanted to have people know, what age range you were. And then secondly, where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Western North Carolina. I grew up in a small town called Forest City, North Carolina, and it's about halfway between Charlotte, which most people have heard of, and a city called Asheville, which is kind of the largest city in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. Then I went to school at Western Carolina University, and after I graduated, I had my sights set on living in Asheville because it's a very trendy town. It's a town of about 90 to 100,000 people in a metro area of just under 500,000. And I was a young guy out of college, and I thought, man, I'm going to go live in Asheville and go to the restaurants and breweries and live a hip lifestyle. And I did that for a few years, and then a few life events caused my wife and I to move to where we live now. Yeah. And then after that, I ended up writing this book.
Okay. So I think you're pretty typical in terms of, you know, going off to college and thinking you want to live that big life and all of those kinds of things. And hopefully more people are then doing what you're doing, and that's moving back to rural America. But when we say rural, again, people have a vision or a thought about what population that is. What is the population of your town and your county?
So the population of Yanceyville, North Carolina, is about 2,000 people, and that fluctuates, obviously, from year to year and census report to census report. Caswell County, where Yanceyville is about 22 or 23,000 people. And the best information that I've seen is I believe the USDA and some other federal government agencies will define an area of less than about 50,000 people into the category of rural. So that's more or less the definition that I worked from.
And I think those numbers are kind of important because the county where we are is about 16,000, and our surrounding counties are, you know, not much more than that. And when we say living a life in rural America, people say, well, you can't make a living. You can't have a family. You can't do that in these little bitty places that are so rural. But you're making that, you and your wife are making that happen in this very rural area. So can you just give us a kind of a brief step-by-step of where you went from Asheville to Yanceyville?
Absolutely, yeah. So I think you're right, first off. I think that people assume that living kind of an attractive, well-rounded lifestyle, especially for millennials, they assume that that's only available in bigger cities. But what we have found is that not only is it available in rural areas as well, I think, honestly, it's a lot easier to achieve and to maintain. So as I talk about in the book, my wife and I moved from Asheville to Yanceyville about 5 years ago. And to our delight, as soon as we moved here, I had a remote office, and so I needed to find rental real estate. I found an incredible office to rent for about half of what I would pay back in Asheville. We were able to build out her family farm, which had been vacant for about 8 years. We kind of transformed the farm into our own wedding venue. As a result of that, we paid about half of what you would expect for a normal wedding these days. My wife started her own business. She's a flower farmer, so she grows and cuts and arranges her own flowers. Business startup costs in bigger cities are much harder. I was also hired as our county's planning director, even though I had never had any local government experience before. And the thing that I love telling people, which really takes them by surprise, is after we got married and we went to buy a house, we found a house and purchased a home, about a 3,000-square-foot craftsman-style house for just $39,000. So again, not only is the type of lifestyle that millennials want available in rural America, I think it's actually a lot easier to obtain in small towns mm-hmm. and rural areas. Mm-hmm.
So your book, of course, chapter by chapter, kind of goes through what the steps that you just mentioned, giving lots of details. And you really are giving a guide. I mean, that's part of your title of your book. It is a guide. If there are other folks who want to give this a try, you give them a guide of how that might be. One, there are a couple things that really hit me, Matthew, as I was reading this book. One is that you talked about your wanting to have something to give to a community. Where did you learn that?
Well, personally, I think it's just something that kind of developed over time. And I think it's a feature of my personality. But quite honestly, too, I think it's a feature, kind of a cultural touchstone of my generation. You know, if you talk to millennials or you look at survey data about millennials being involved in their community or taking a job, or even down to the brands that they purchase or the political candidates that they support, they often seek authenticity and they seek more of a meaningful experience in those types of day-to-day activities or other things that they kind of incorporate into their life. So it's certainly a feature of my personality that as soon as I moved here, I wanted to become involved and try to positively affect our community. But more broadly, I do think it's a feature of my generation and part of why I wrote the book. And that's why the title is A Millennial's Guide to Building a Meaningful Life in Rural America. So a lot of millennials want to be part of something meaningful. And because it's almost a wide open playing field, I believe they have the opportunity to do more meaningful things by moving into a small town and taking advantage of those opportunities in rural areas.
So when another thing you talk about is your ease of getting to work, the ease of coming home and being home at 5 or so, not having to work for a long time after that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that from 5 on you're sitting on the couch doing nothing. You have a busy life, and that's a really important part, I think, of how you built what you've built. Tell us about how you've gotten involved.
Yeah, I think you're right. So as I talk about in the book, I walk to work most days, as long as it's not raining or there's some other issue going on. My wife and I live here in town. Even though it's a small town, I can walk to work and the post office and to get a haircut and a lot of other local amenities, and it is just tremendously convenient. But a lot of our big city peers, they leave work, but they still have, an hour or so commute on their hands. And I'm just really glad that that's not the case for us. So I get home, I have time to play with my daughter. We have a 5-month-old newborn here at home. And, when she's older, I'll be able to leave work and take her to soccer practice or do after school activities or whatever the case may be and have that convenience. But before taking my current job, and even still, if there are boards or committees that meet after hours, it's a lot easier and a lot more convenient to be involved if the commute time is lower. If you can leave work at work and then quickly get to the next thing, whether it's my wife's business or me having the free time to write this book or being involved in our community, having that convenience of living in a small town mm-hmm. makes those things a lot more possible.
And you go quite in detail about how you started getting acquainted with people and the importance of relationships and connections and how basically when I read it, that's what made things happen in your life. And it's a really important lesson for all of us is to make those connections, to show up and to work. So there are a number of phrases, I guess I'm not exactly quotes, but the one I like, be the person willing to show up, know what's going on when no one else cares. So that's an important thing.
Or at least or at least it might seem that they don't care. And as I talk about in the book, too, one of the first county commission meetings that I went to after we moved to town, I was the only one of about four or five people there. But all across America, I think that's the case. And I think that's completely normal.
Yep.
You know, people live very busy lives. And yep. unless there's some sort of a planning and zoning issue or something like that that directly affects them, you know, they've got other things to do, and they're taking care of their family. And that's completely understandable.
You bet.
In the process of publishing this book, I actually sent the draft to a friend who lives in Denver, Colorado, and he read through it and actually shared it with some friends. And he said, you know, chapter 4, which is entitled How to Get Involved and Make a Difference, really stood out to them, because once the COVID lockdowns started happening, they kind of talked to each other and said, oh, man, maybe we don't want to live in such a big city. And that really stuck out to them, because it was almost the guide of how you actually begin to build those relationships if you do move to a new community. So it stuck out for them, and I'm glad that it stuck out for you as well.
How do you get the book?
So probably the best place to go is my website, howtothinksmall.com. From there, you can order a signed copy. And that will take you through to Amazon. The book is available on Amazon in both paperback and ebook formats, and hopefully soon will also be available in audiobook format. So again, the website is howtothinksmall.com.
All right. We want to thank you so much, Matthew Hoagland, for visiting with us and showing us some opportunities. And until next time, here's a thought, and some of you will recognize the name Wayne Cobberdall, a past community development person who said, to be a leader, show up.